Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, February 9, 2016. Amnesty International says South Sudan government should release a journalist held by the country's national security.
So we are calling on South Sudanese authorities to charge Joseph Effendi with a criminal offense and present him before a competent judicial authority or release him, and to ensure that during his detention, he's not subject to torture or any other form of ill treatment.
And residents of Maridi State say they are witnessing more killings and kidnapping by unknown gunmen.
On the 1st of February, two people were abducted, and up to now, they are nowhere to be seen. Around the 2nd also, one person has been abducted, and a known artist here in Maridi called Badi, and known by his artistic name, Badi Loverboy, was also abducted.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Amnesty International is calling on South Sudanese authorities to either charge or release a journalist who is in detention at the National Security Service headquarters in Juba for more than a month. Joseph Effendi, a reporter with Arabic language Al Tahbir newspaper, was arrested late December but has not been charged with any offense. As Philip Thornaleo reports for VOA from Juba, the government says Effendi is not a journalist, and if he is under arrest, it is not related to journalistic work.
Elizabeth Asumadeng is a South Sudan researcher with the UK-based human rights group Amnesty International. Deng says Effendi has been held in Ikomunkado since his arrest.
He has been held in detention by South Sudan's National Security Service since 29 December 2015, and he has not had any access to family members. We believe he's being detained in relation to an article published in the Al Tahbir newspaper in December, in which he criticized the ruling party, the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, particularly focusing on the human rights abuses that have occurred in the context of the conflict.
Deng says this arbitrary detention is unacceptable under South Sudan's transitional constitution of 2011.
So we are calling on South Sudanese authorities to charge Joseph Effendi with a criminal offense and present him before a competent judicial authority or release him. We're calling on them to grant him access to family members as well as to his lawyer, and to ensure that during his detention, he's not subject to torture or any other form of ill treatment.
South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwe calls Effendi an opinion writer.
In the first place, this man is not a journalist. This is one. Number two, if at all he is detained, he must have been detained for his own reasons, not because he is a journalist. Number three, so far, up to now, I've been hearing from people like you that somebody has been detained. But so far, up to this moment, I've no information of his detention by any of our security organs.
As if authorities will investigate a funded case and pursue his release, Makwe reiterated his position that there is no information about a funded detention by National Security Service. Deng insists there is no doubt that a funded is being held by government security agents, and says the practice of harassing media practitioners must end now, in accordance with the peace agreement signed last year.
So the media play an important role in keeping the public informed about the events in the country. And of course, the peace agreement was a major event, a major achievement. And it is important for the media houses to inform the public about the content of the peace agreement and its implementation. But of course, you know, they should not be restricted in what they choose to write about and in how they choose to express their opinion.
Deng says journalists in South Sudan work under a harsh environment which became more difficult during the last 2 years of conflict. In September 2014, South Sudan President Salva Kiir signed 3 long-awaited media bills into law, but local media groups say the laws have not been fully implemented and restrictions on the press continue. The 3 laws cover the right to access to information, public service broadcasting, and media regulation. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleo in Juba.
Residents of the newly created Maridi and Budwe State complain their rights are not respected. Residents of the two states, which were formerly part of Western Equatorial State, say some of their relatives have disappeared. In Gudwe's Yambio County, people have reported disappearances, arbitrary arrests, and killings of loved ones. Gift Friday has this report for VOA from Juba.
Married estate artist Buddy Levy was found dead on Friday after he and two others were kidnapped by unknown gunmen last week. A Yambio resident who prefers to be identified only as Arketa says, unknown military men picked up her husband, John Cosmos, in October of last year and detained him at a military barracks in Yambio without ever charging him with an offense. She says she last had access to her husband on New Year's Eve when the military gave her husband's clothes to her so she could wash them. Speaking in Zande, Arketa says she never had or saw her husband again after repeatedly pleading with the soldiers for his release.
I asked them if he has done anything bad, let them say it or let them charge him. They just told me he has done nothing, he will be released, and at the end they just killed him.
Arketa, a mother of four, says her husband's mutilated body was later found on one of the hills in the suburbs of Yambio. She says her husband was all she had.
And here, as I am, there is nobody. My mother is dead. He was my mother and my father. And I have four children, and he left me pregnant.
Another Yambio resident, Madeleine Woduapai, says her husband, Emmanuel Anania Baime, was arrested by unidentified people on Saturday while she was not at home. Woduapai says her children told her that a car filled with soldiers took their father away.
It was after some hours when I came back home, I had the information from the children. And after some hours, like 1 to 2 hours, he called me with his telephone and told me that he was in Juba. He was taken to Juba by the airplane together with the people who arrested him. Of course, I'm worried because his voice is not out. I'm not communicating with him. I don't know whether he's alive or not.
Woduapai has 9 children with Baime. She is demanding to know where her husband is being detained and the crime he accused of committing. She says her family completely depends on Baime.
I don't know what to do. He's the person responsible for the home. And I don't know yet the reason why he was arrested. He's not a politician. He's a normal citizen.
Woduapai says the government should protect local residents, not to arbitrarily detain them. But Maridi State Governor Africano Mande denies state authorities are responsible for the disappearance and arbitrary arrests. He blames a local vigilante group known as the Aero Boys for the kidnappings.
And there has been reported cases of abduction. For example, on the 1st of February, 2 people were abducted, and up to now they are nowhere to be seen. Around the 2nd also, one person has been abducted, and a known artist here in Meridi called Buddy, and known by his artistic name, Buddy Loverboy, was also abducted from his farm.
Governor Mande says both the state and county authorities are doing their best to ensure the safety of the state's young people. Meridi State Paramount Chief James Bokindo describes the incidents as unfortunate.
Now, we don't know who the rebels are or who the criminals are. That is the bad thing we have here.
Bokindo says traditional chiefs plan to meet with the state governor so they could discuss the kidnappings, disappearance, and killings. He is calling on the government and opposition to form the transitional government of national unity so that peace can finally be restored in the country. Gift Friday for VOA News, Juba.
Philip Tonaleo contributed to this story in Juba. Still in Western Equatoria, residents affected by a recent wildfire burned a known number of homes and buildings in Zara County are asking state authorities and non-governmental organizations to help them with emergency relief. VOA fellow Tito Justin has more.
Victims of fire say they have lost everything and are asking state government officials to come to their aid. Katina Miasani, a resident of the Sakundu area in Yabua Boma, says she was in a nearby market when the fire destroyed her house. Speaking in local Zande language, she says everything she had is gone.
All my property was inside the house. There was nobody to remove them. We are facing difficulties in everything.
Miss Yani, who is a mother of 10, says her children now have nothing to eat except cassava, which she says is also hard to find.
We don't have anything, not even a cup for drinking water, not even where to sleep. We are just living like this. If we get burnt cassava in the farm, we uproot it and roast.
Ms. Yani says the government should provide relief aid to the affected families before the start of the rainy season. Samuel Bira, another Sokundu resident, says the fire burnt down three of his houses in an area 15 square kilometers wide and is still burning out of control.
I don't know how the fire had happened. The fire starts from Saura at Akron there, come across Yagua up to Sokundo, till to Baguga, even reach the market of Sugushiro. Till now, as we are talking now, the fire is still going ahead.
Bira says he lost many valuables, including money.
The money, it was almost 3,000 and about 3 meters was burned on and all the property of ours.
Bira, a father of seven, says he had to rely on the kindness of friends for food.
Crying to the government, let him try to help us because we are now in a dangerous situation. All the children are living, sleeping out in that coldness.
Ramadan John, executive chief of Namuaki Boma, says over 130 houses were burnt in his Boma alone. John says the fire could have been caused by women who go fishing in the area.
The cause of the fire, I think that fire comes from the women who go for the fish. They want to cook something. Then from there, the wind takes the fire to the grass and it starts going, as I'm telling you.
Nzara County Commissioner Elia Richard Box says the fire could have been triggered by high winds.
What I know, the damage is too high. You know, to construct a house now is a problem. A grass roof is small bundle for 15 pounds, and you cannot get it. And then compared to the properties, and then the garden may go to a billion of pounds.
Box says county authorities will carry out an assessment to determine the extent of the damage. He urged the residents to try to prevent bush fires, which he says are common in the dry season. Box says county authorities are working with the government agencies to secure aid for the victims.
So my appeal to SRC office is to take this thing seriously. The coordinator at the state level should listen to what his coordinator at county level forwarded to him.
Ramadan John says he is working with the area head chiefs to register the number of houses burnt down and will submit a report to the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Washington.
Gift Friday prepared that report from Juba. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what's being done to counter the country's out-of-control inflation? That story is coming up.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Are sports a part of your daily activities? Which sport?
Me, athletics, like running, because it can help you to become flexible. When you do some exercises, you can regain energy and you become somehow good.
No, sport is not a part of my daily activities. Probably because I'm busy with work. But aside of that, I would love to do sports.
Okay, I play football. Yes, of course. As long as I'm living, it has to be part of me. And I do it a lot.
Sports is actually part of my daily activities. I prefer playing tennis. It's a game that I started playing last year in January, and I started to like it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about the Zika virus. A top scientist at the Kenyan Medical Research Institute says the level of risk of Zika infection in Africa is much lower than in the Americas. Mitch Warren heads the HIV/AIDS advocacy group, known as IVAC. It advocates for greater scientific research for a vaccine as well as treatment and prevention. Warren spoke to VOA's Joe DiCapua about the current Zika outbreak and how it compares to the recent Ebola outbreak.
The easy comparison, certainly right now, is the Zika outbreak and the Ebola outbreak from a little over a year ago. Similar in many respects because they were true kind of outbreaks, seemingly catching the world off guard. HIV certainly did that 35 years ago, and it was kind of a rapidly mounting epidemic in a couple of specific populations. And this is different. I mean, this is more like Ebola in that anyone who's in these places geographically is at risk, and in this case passed by a mosquito. Clearly, the world has learned a great deal from Ebola and from HIV. So there is a rapid response from the World Health Organization. There is a particularly rapid response to the importance of doing research to try to address the epidemic rapidly. And you're already seeing a lot of people talking about the importance of developing a Zika vaccine. So I think the rush to research is very clear. We aren't seeing the same kind of stigma that emerged with Ebola a couple of years ago in West Africa, and it's clearly been the dominant issue with respect to HIV for our entire 35-year history.
While you're not seeing the stigma or discrimination, what about the level of fear among people in the area?
I was talking to a Brazilian colleague just the other day. Of course, as they begin Mardi Gras and Carnival and all the celebrations, and people seem to be plowing ahead in the face of this. That said, this has clearly caused a lot of people to raise some quite remarkable responses. I think most importantly and most interestingly is the call in a number of countries for women to delay pregnancy by months to get through the season of high contact, and in a couple of cases, even delay pregnancies by a couple of years. That is quite remarkable. It is quite hard to believe in terms of how one would implement something like that. When a government says women shouldn't get pregnant or pregnant women shouldn't travel, of course it's going to create lots of alarm and concern, and justifiably so. So I think we are really at that moment of trying to ensure that the public health response is appropriate and that the recommendations are feasible and practical.
So tell me what you think will happen regarding research for a Zika vaccine.
We need a vaccine. That's, you know, public health 101. The good news is this is a virus that seems to be one that is easier to develop a vaccine for than something like HIV. And the reason for that is the best case scenario with the virus is that once infected, if you clear it, then you become immune. And that's true of a number of diseases. Unfortunately, that is not the case with HIV, which is why the development of an HIV vaccine is so very difficult. But with Zika virus, it seems that people who are infected once are then immune and are protected naturally. So we need to create a vaccine that simply replicates nature, whereas with HIV, we have to create a vaccine that does better than nature. I mean, that's why we still don't have an AIDS vaccine. What's interesting is a number of research groups and even some companies are really immediately gravitating to the importance of this. There are some leading vaccinologists who see this as a quite straightforward development path, much different than HIV, and that a vaccine could be developed in a number of years. And this is a particular kind of virus called a flavivirus. So there are other diseases that are similarly flaviviruses for which there are vaccines that have been developed. So there is great hope that one could develop it. But that doesn't mean it's around the corner, but certainly the probability of success and speed to success seem to be faster than something like HIV.
Mitchell Warren is the head of the HIV advocacy group IVAC. He spoke to VOA's Joe DiCapua. Women in Wau State are doing what they can to improve local economy. Hundreds of women this week welcomed the launch of a village saving and loan scheme supported by the French-based Agency for Technical Cooperation and Development. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Wau.
Most women in Wau State do not have bank accounts or run their own businesses because they don't have any money. Last, when the Agency for Technical Cooperation and Development, also known as ACTED, launched a village saving and loan program to help hundreds of women in Wau. About 400 women are trained for a month on how to cut expenditures and save more money to invest in a business. After their training, the women were organized in groups of 30 each. They are now expected to save money in small cash boxes in what is called a merry-go-round, in which like-minded business people pull some of their money and disperse to each member at agreed intervals. Regina Edward, one of the women who took the training, sells chickens. Speaking in Arabic, Edward says she has now saved 10,000 South Sudanese pounds.
I take chickens and sell them in the market, but later use the money to buy flour and sell that in the market at small quantities. Then I thought of forming a group and told my fellow women, why can't we form a cycle group? And they accepted. So now we are progressing well with three groups.
Mary Joseph, who owns a bakery, says she has established a small kiosk where she sells mobile phone credit. She says she has not been able to save a great deal of money because she spends her earnings on feeding her family. Speaking in Arabic, she says now that she is being trained by the French-based agency, she hopes to be able to save more money and reinvest in her business.
For me, I started with bread and later opened a tea shop. And with these businesses, I am now also able to open a shop for mobile airtime scratch cards. But with this training, I have learned how to manage and discipline myself. I realized I had been giving out a lot of money for home consumption, but now I will change that habit.
Many South Sudanese manage similar businesses, but these groups of women are trained to invest in more than one venture to ensure diversity of their commodities. Jacqueline Wandera, who works for a local NGO, Passionate Harmony Campaign, says most businesses operated by women collapse because they do not diversify their business interests. She advises women to be able to trade in different items and allow time for their businesses to grow.
For the sake of you making money and being able to get more goods quickly, please try to diversify your business. If your sister is doing a different business, try to do another business that can complement so that you are always getting money.
James Ganwat, ACTED coordinator, says women have limited access to loans from traditional banks. He says he hopes the training they received and the savings and loan program will help women in Wau save something for their families.
So our project is about village savings and loans associations. The idea is that groups of 20 or 30 people gather together each week to contribute a bit of savings into a box and a sanduk. So then from this box, they can take loans because all of them together saving are able to increase the amount of money they can then distribute to others.
Ganwat adds that saving requires self-discipline and patience.
So each of the women and some of the men here, they're all doing business of some kind. Some are tea sellers, some are vegetable sellers, some are working at the farm. So their access to microfinance or to loans is very limited because they only have so many resources. So to go to a bank, it may be difficult for them to access a loan. So the way of this community savings is that they can access a loan at a very small level.
The village saving and loan program has rules and regulations set. The saving requires every member to pay up to £10 every week for a one-year cycle with right to loan from the common pool at a low interest. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
While in Jonglei State, women are talking about politics. A group of women are calling on the state officials to appoint a female deputy governor. They argue that appointing a woman to the position will boost the role of women in implementing the peace agreement. State Secretary General Mawud Achek says South Sudanese have the right to lobby for any position they want in the state government. Jacob Achek has this story from Bor.
Speaking in Arabic, the head of the Women Association in Jonglei State, Sarah Achuay, says there are several women capable of being deputy governors. But she says men are unlikely to accept their demand.
Since this war started, we as women did not run away from the country. Then why, when it comes to government and positions, they are saying there's war in the country, we did not run away? Really, this is a serious issue. We as women are capable of holding this position.
Women rights activist Ayan Queer Ajak agree. The former chairperson of the Jongle Estate Women Association says men are using the ongoing instability in part of the country as an excuse to deny women leadership positions. She says during a recent Jonglei community meetings, it's become clear that some men do not believe women can be leaders.
When we went for the meeting, for the community meeting, it was difficult for the elderly people to understand that the young lady could contest for the position of deputy governor. The difficulties I got was that they said there is insecurity in the state and this position should not be given to a lady. I was not convinced. I tried so many times, and even they took my name for the first time. But when I came to Juba, I learned that they removed my name.
Ajak says she will run for one of the positions at the state level in the next general election scheduled for 2018. Margaret Achol William, a lawmaker representing Duke County in the state legislative assembly, says it is important that women be involved in all effort to attain peace and stability. Jonglei State Secretary General Mawud Acheg Warak says women have the right to lobby for any position they want in the state government.
For women, it does not matter because there are women in the SPLM-IO. So if they have their own women contesting for that position and they qualify by the virtue of their leadership recommendation or proposal, then a woman can become. Then that woman can become one. So it is still open.
State government in South Sudan are supposed to give a quarter of position of powers to women. But several women groups have complained that they are not well represented in the Bayrou's state government. No women were appointed to head any of President Kiir's newly created 28 states. For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song No More War by Ras Kobi.
Just checking up the global scene all over the world right now, seeing Rasta cities. We need a global love, you know, and a global solution, and must be a conclusion. Sure, Rastafari, just stop the war. No more war in Africa, the people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East, the people are fighting the peace. No more war in America, the people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in Asia, we gotta keep it nice and neat, y'all. Our people suffering around the world today, they're trying to find a solution. We look around and nowhere to hide, not even a single place to run. How can you say you're leading the world? That love. So how can you say you're leading the world without peace? Circumstances meet people along the way. They need someone to turn to. Only Jah has a solution. No mankind has it on his own. We were created in the image and the likeness of Jah. Mankind, don't try to fool yourself. Wake up in the morning, you see the sun down. And even times the rain will fall. Can you tell me what the mystical vibration you see in your heart? No more war in Africa, the people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East, the people are fighting the peace. No more war in America, the people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in Asia, we gotta keep it nice and neat. Can't you tell me how much love you have for this world and Creator? Take a look, I'll let the children find the street. They're standing as the future generation. Don't leave them on their own. Who's gonna be in the future? Stand up. Don't let them hold you. Stand up. Rise about yourself, stand up, give them love, stand up for the future generation.
We have been listening to Ras Kobi with the song No More War. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could be here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. In Africa.
The people got to leave up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East. The people are fighting in the peace. No more.